I'll show you politics in America. Here it is, right here. I think the puppet on the right shares my beliefs. I think the puppet on the left is more to my liking. Hey, wait a minute. There's one guy holding up both puppets. Shut up. Go back to bed, America. Your government is in control.
Read my lips.
Just send your cash.
There has never been so many lies, so much deception.
Doesn't anyone notice this? I feel like I'm taking crazy pills.
Please clap.
It's time for the Mike Madison Show, a new breed of conservative talk. Now, here's your host, Mike Madison.
Showtime!
All right, good morning. Welcome to the Mike Madison Show here at 103.9 WYAB. I am your host, weekdays 9 to 11 o'clock, 2 hours to offer up a safe space to the independent thinkers out there, and you're going to get a big healthy dose of kind of out of the mainstream thinking today. A lot to go over. A friend of mine was asking me the other day, well, you know, what do you think? He and I talk often, and there's times where with this show, I just kind of sigh and say, things have gotten boring. The political theater stuff isn't very interesting to me because I see it for what it is, which is a lot of just theater. Nothing changes. The two parties pointing fingers at each other just the same way that professional wrestlers do. And I get bored. And he asked me the other day, so what's the status now? Are you finding some interesting stuff? And I said, yes, this is in my wheelhouse here between the Canadian trucker stuff and the reaction to that, which I'm going to get into, and I'll go ahead and issue a trigger alert because I may have a different take on this than many people do. And then when it comes to Russia, the psychopath running our foreign policy here in the United States and administration after administration after administration, getting us into this conflict with Russia where none would exist, would it not be for the United States and with our handmade Great Britain. So there's plenty of stuff to talk about. These are things kind of in my wheelhouse, so plenty to talk about today. Quotes of the day today, I'm staring at a picture here as General Dwight Eisenhower stares at me. He had an interesting quote. He said, "If you want total security, go to prison. There you're fed, clothed, and given medical care, and so on. The only thing lacking is freedom." And this is as we kind of build our own cell around ourselves, brick by brick by brick. A guy named somebody who tweets under Santiago Capital tweeted this: "For those in disbelief, even horrified at steps being taken by the government to maintain power in Canada, just know it's only a fraction of lengths to which they would ultimately go. It's the nature of every state to preserve and grow power. It's a ratchet, and it's not different here." And this is what I'm going to get into in a little bit here. There was one good company that was fighting back. You know, the totalitarians in Canada are trying to seize people's assets, everything from crypto down to crowdsourced, crowdfunding stuff. I'm not familiar with any of these companies because I'm not in the crypto world, but there's something called Nunchuck, and it's some kind of a personal wallet. Again, I'm a bad person to try to explain this stuff, but apparently the Canadians wanted them to give up their information on anybody that might have supported these truckers. And so I guess they sent what is some kind of a government demand that they turn over these records and freeze these assets for the Canadian government. And Nunchuck responded to the government in this way. They said, "Nunchuck is a self-custodial, collaborative multi-sig Bitcoin wallet. We are a software provider, not a custodial financial intermediary. Our software is free to use. It allows people to eliminate single points of failure and store Bitcoin in the safest way possible while preserving privacy. We do not collect any user identification information beyond email addresses. We also do not hold any keys. Therefore, we cannot, quote, freeze our users' accounts. We cannot, quote, prevent them from being moved. We do not have knowledge of the existence, nature, value, and location of our users' assets. This is by design." And then they finish with this. This is, again, in response to the Canadian government demanding. They start freezing their customers' accounts and turning them over to the government. They said,
Please look up how self-custody and private keys work. When the Canadian dollar becomes worthless, we will be here to serve you too. Sincerely, the Nunchuck team. So, score one for the anonymity of crypto, at least in that case. Again, I do not understand it. I do not know that it makes it outside of government control. I actually got a clip on that. I'm saving for Tech Tuesday. FBI is starting to set up their own department on how to get in there and grab your crypto, but probably discuss that tomorrow. This is a quote from a guy I can barely pronounce his name, Antoine de Saint-Exupéry. He said, if you want to build a ship, don't drum up the people to collect wood and don't assign them task and work, but rather teach them to long for the endless immensity of the sea. And that's what this show is. This is a show not about telling you what to do or how to fix it. A lot of that's a big knock on conservative talk radio, and I get that knock. Yeah, you talk a lot about this stuff, but what are we supposed to do? You know, my job is to make people actually appreciate real freedom, and it's becoming kind of popular. Not necessarily the show, but the idea of freedom, understanding conservatives in particular, finally understanding that you can't pick and choose your freedoms. You can't let a government come in and say, we'll arrest you as a business owner, take your license, shut down your restaurant. If you allow someone to come in here and smoke a cigarette, you don't get to pick that one and then not expect that a governor could come in and say, I tell you what, you need to close your doors. You can open up, but only 25% occupancy. Sooner or later, conservatives will come to this. I think they're slowly but surely starting to understand that that's beginning to happen. One more quote of the day, and then we're going to get into some of this Canadian trucker stuff. This is turning into a test of wills, and there is some violence involved too. But John F. Kennedy said, and the boys, nothing's been more appropriate than this one, those who make peaceful revolution impossible will make violent revolution inevitable. This is an update of what's been going on this past weekend up in Canada when it comes to the truckers up in Ottawa.
Now to the latest clashes in Canada. Police moving in on the remaining protesters from the so-called Freedom Convoy, saying the occupation is now over. Smoke seen blowing through the crowd. According to authorities, some demonstrators using tear gas and smoke grenades against the officers. Dozens of people arrested and dozens of trucks and other vehicles were towed. ABC's Kenneth Moten reporting.
And I don't know if any of you saw the video or pictures of the tow trucks that were showing up. I had heard, it's kind of going around, that there was not a tow truck company in Ottawa that was going to go and haul these truckers away. You can only imagine having to go into a sea of these protesters and start hauling away these trucks. Probably not a real popular move. But apparently they did get some tow trucks in there, and if you see them, at least the one picture that I saw was the guy was in like a neon green ski mask with a hood over it. It looked like something out of The Purge. They had the company names taped up on the side of the truck. So they're basically going in and doing the government's bidding. Now, I don't know if it's very possible some tow truck operator had a knock at the door from the government saying, we're seizing your trucks if you don't get out there and start hauling these trucks away. Obviously, there's no length that the Canadian government won't go to, but it's some creepy pictures of these masked men hauling away these trucks.
Tonight from Ottawa.
Tonight, the clashes in Canada's capital city. Officers clearing the last protesters of the so-called Freedom Convoy. Some defiant, shoving, face-to-face, pushing back against police.
That's my mother! Don't you touch her!
Police in riot gear, accusing protesters of using gas and smoke grenades. Officers armed with batons and rubber bullets. Hitting back with pepper spray. This man dragged away. More than 170 demonstrators arrested in this police crackdown.
This is about personal freedom of choice for our bodies, for our lives.
But after 3 weeks of taking over Ottawa's downtown over COVID restrictions, some remaining truckers retreating.
Even as police move in, they're still giving these truckers the option to leave on their own.
Police towing other big rigs. Today, Parliament back in session. This area was the last stronghold for demonstrators.
This occupation is now over. We will continue with our mission until it is complete.
When Parliament Hill has now been cleared, the perimeter secured with this fencing, but protesters have spilled into other parts of the city. Ottawa police telling them to go home.
And there were other protests. I saw pictures from Calgary and from Alberta, where the small fringe minority, what they're calling them, just miles and miles and miles of crowded large streets with people waving Canadian flags and chanting freedom. So this is, it. Like I say, it's getting real. Like you could see this coming. The Ottawa police chief resigned last week, I believe, before this operation started. But they have got a new one in place. And there's probably a never-ending stream of Gestapo types in the Ottawa police, apparently. The first police chief before retiring, before quitting, had made a ton of threats and spoken very disparagingly against these truckers, but they have replaced him with a real psychopath. So they're telling the truckers right now, go ahead and load up in your trucks and get out of here. There's a way to defuse the situation, they say. But here's what the Ottawa police chief said about that.
If the protesters at this point, retreat and go home, are they going to be getting sort of repercussions down the road? Or are you going to be sort of actively pursuing the people that you've been sort of documenting and filming who are still out there protesting? What are your plans after this, after the protest is over?
Thank you. It's a great question. And the simple answer is yes. If you are involved in this protest, we will actively look to identify you and follow up with financial sanctions and criminal charges. Absolutely. This investigation will go on for months to come. It has many, many different streams, both from a federal financial level, from a provincial licensing level, from a criminal code level, from a municipal breach of court order, breach of court injunction level. It will be a complicated and time consuming investigation that will go on for a period of time. You have my commitment that that investigation will continue and we will hold people accountable for taking our streets over.
So there you go. Even if you do load up in your truck and you go home, they're still coming after you. It's very reminiscent of January 6th, isn't it? Oh, FBI has never been so mobilized as they were after January 6th. They call it the biggest investigation they've ever undertaken. Bigger than 9/11. Of course, 9/11, entirely different subject. But even if you leave, they're still coming after you. So I'm not really sure exactly how that tells these truckers that they should just load up and go on home and we'll just call it a day. Canada is also considering this. This is their, the, what would the Nazi comparison be? I guess there was some, there had to have been somebody in Nazi Germany that was in charge of penalizing the Jews financially, confiscating their stuff. I'm not sure who that would be, but this is who they have reincarnated as far as Canada goes. This is their financial woman. She's basically going to explain that these emergency powers they have to control how you transfer money to support any group you want to support, or just if you fall out. I mean, this is the beginning of the social credit score. They plan to make this permanent.
In terms of the financial instruments which our government is using right now to act against these illegal blockades and illegal occupation, we reviewed very, very carefully the tools at the disposal of the federal government. And we used all the tools that we had prior to the invocation of the Emergencies Act. And we determined that we needed some additional tools. Now, some of those tools, we will be putting forward measures to put those tools permanently in place. The authorities of FinTrack, I believe, do need to be expanded to cover crowdsourcing platforms and payment platform and their payment providers.
So there you go. So the authoritarianism. This is another one of these emergency, you know, temporary things the government does. These are always temporary, kind of like removing us from the gold standard temporarily in 1971. And 51 years later, well, we still have our currency backed by nothing. Nothing more permanent than a temporary government program. So they're planning on making this stuff permanent. When I come back, I'm going to get a little bit more into this and give you, I mean, I think it's something to consider. It's something to think about, particularly for the conservative-minded out there. But I'm going to issue a trigger warning. I don't know if that's makes people more compelled to listen, or they run away. But if you don't run away on the trigger warning, you may run away when I get to this next topic. Stay with me.
You know, the day destroys the night. Night divides the day. Try to run, try to hide. Break on through to the other side. Break on through to the other side.
I was pretty much faced with a decision 2017, 2018, 2019 in particular, probably, to either be consistent or to be popular. I guess that's maybe the best way I could put it. As a libertarian, I always knew that I would be different. I started the first day of this show being against the war on drugs, the war on terror, the war on poverty. There's a lot of things libertarians believe that are popular, shrinking the size of government, those kinds of things. But I'm totally against the individual income tax. Nobody impresses me by cutting my income tax rate by 3%. So I knew there would be some things that would be different, but, you know, as I lost faith in Donald Trump, when I saw him surround himself by the swamp, when I saw him cheerleading that the Federal Reserve go to zero interest rates or even negative, I soured on him, and I just explained it to you along the way. This is where I chose the path of consistency rather than popularity. But I'm given the freedom to do that, and I'm going to keep doing it regardless of what happens. I'm not going to twist myself into a knot. I'm going to point out what I see. And I think Republicans are kind of conservatives, maybe is a better term now. A lot of people that are conservative have kind of woken up to the Republican Party itself. And I think conservatives are kind of ripe for understanding better. If I'd done this show 10 years ago, it probably would have been a really heavy lift. But I think a lot of conservatives are starting to understand real freedom now more. Conservatives have gone along with the, if you can't do the time, don't do the crime, which is this assumption that anything that the politicians say, if they get a majority of politicians who I constantly point, a bunch of corrupt people get together and tell you can't do something, and then you believe that you must abide by that, and if you break that law, then somehow you're a bad citizen. This is the conservative view, traditionally. I don't know if that's, we're starting to chip away at that. But this idea of it's obedience. Conservatives have been very obedient. You know, many people still that same way, and you're seeing now that you were finally pushed to a point where your freedom kind of mattered, didn't it? You couldn't move about. You couldn't go to a restaurant. You couldn't leave your home sometimes. You couldn't open your business. You couldn't attend your church. And now suddenly freedom's kind of popular with conservatives, like real freedom. So I think we're more open to this. Well, another quote of the day today, and I'm going to take you down this path where, as I say, I'm going to continue with my consistency, even though it might affect my popularity. Viva Frey, I forget who this is, but I got a Twitter account, and I ran across this quote. He said, I have spent 12 days live streaming from Ottawa. I did not see one shred of violence until the police showed up. And I'm sure many people have seen this footage now coming out of Canada. This is an exchange. It's better for a video format, but you can certainly get the interaction between the police and citizens, Canadian citizens. This sounds like an older woman. I want you to hear the exchange between this older woman by herself. She might have one person with her. The street is pretty cleared out. She apparently, the criminal she is, wanted to go get a cup of coffee, and this is her interaction with the Ottawa police.
I just want to get a coffee, okay?
Why is the camera in my face right now? Are you here partaking?
You walked up
right now, you're in the red zone?
I'm scared. I want to go for a coffee down there. Can I go for a coffee?
Where's the rest of people still being arrested right now?
Do you live in this?
You're not excluded from that.
Where do you live? Alberta.
Time for you to leave.
I can't even go down there for a coffee.
No, go grab yourself in the red zone right now. If you don't leave right now, you will be arrested. Do you understand me?
I can't go for a coffee.
Grab your stuff, because if we see you, we'll be patrolling all day. If we see you again, it'll be different.
And this is where the cop tries to knock her phone out of her hand, where he assaults her as she was moving in the direction that they wanted, but she still had her camera rolling, so the cop assaults her.
Leave. What did I tell you?
Take your camera and get out of here. Do you understand that? Walk away. Your phone doesn't need to be in our face when you're walking away. Go. Are you going to walk or are you going to get arrested?
I was walking away.
Get out of here.
Oh my goodness. Hope you can go to sleep at night.
Oh, don't worry. They will sleep just fine. They will sleep just fine. And so what my tone of my show will take after this next break is, how many of you are backing the blue in Canada these days? Because falling in love with police and not holding them accountable is just as stupid as falling in love with a politician and not holding them accountable. Now, I'll explain to you, I have a very consistent view of police here or anywhere. They do some incredibly heroic work. There's all kinds of great things, great community service provided by police when they do proper policing, which is protecting us from the aggression of other people, from our property being stolen, from being assaulted, tracking down people who rape and murder. This is heroic work that the police do, and they do it on a daily basis. But that's not really even the bulk of what police do. And this is one of these moments that people kind of need to understand that what's happening in Canada, you think it couldn't happen here? I beg to differ. We'll talk about it on the other side of this break.
I need to feel your touch. I need your understanding. I need your love so much.
All right, we are back. This is the Mike Madison Show, 103.9 WYAB. I've had several interactions with police that were incredibly positive. I've told the story many times. I'll tell it again just so people know where I'm coming from. I had what was essentially a stalker, a mentally deranged human being, only one in my life ever. Vandalized some of my property, made a bunch of threats, was like kind of cyber stalking, which is fairly difficult for me because I'm really not online much. I don't do social media and those kinds of things, but they would go out and just try to trash me online. People would say, who the hell is this guy? Why is he posting crap about you on my page? You know, it's just bizarre stuff. And eventually when he vandalized some of my property, I pressed charges. And the police, I would be sitting there for a couple of weeks after pressing these charges. I would be sitting in my home and I would see a light shining down the side of my house. I'm like, what the hell is that? And I would go and look, and it was the Madison County Police Department just cruising by my house. I never asked him to do this, but they were just going by my house and just looking down the sides of my house just to make sure everything was okay. They didn't come in, even say anything to me. I thought that was incredibly good service to just kind of make sure that things were okay. They knew that this person was out there. They didn't end up in jail. Well, one few hours, but... And so I've had those. I've had some interactions with police where they got a little enthusiastic about some kind of silly stuff, but you know, I understand the job is hard. But the idea that we support everything that law enforcement does because we really appreciate the heroic things we do, I think has been misguided. I'll put it that way. We have allowed the erosion of our rights. And when you look at what's happening in Canada, what you've looked at what's happened in Great Britain, what you looked at what's happened in Australia, I ask you, what do you think the local police would do if truckers converged around the state legislature here in Mississippi? Should we have problems with more lockdowns or vaccine mandates for our children if we got to a serious protest movement around the Capitol? Or any city council? Do you believe that, and I know a lot of police officers. I've had some work for me. I've done work with police officers. Some absolutely great guys. But what's happened is we've created a militarized police system here, much like you're looking at the footage in Ottawa where they're running up in their MRAPs, their mine-resistant vehicles, all this surplus military equipment that has made it back to the great cheers of conservatives. They love to see all the new hardware. Police will pull up in their MRAPs for a kid's birthday party to show the intense, like we're in an occupied country. But in many cases, we have allowed the police to become at war with even some of their own citizens. But what do you think? I remember going to a Madison County School Board meeting, and there were cops there to enforce mask mandates. Now, I would love to believe, like everybody else does believe, that if anything like that came here, if we ever had real causes for concern where Americans took to the streets, we should have 2 years ago. We didn't. I would love to think that the vast majority of police would drop their shields and join our side of the protest and tell this government to stick it. But that's not happened traditionally in this country. There certainly would be a few. There always are people who take their oath seriously, who dedicated their lives to protecting citizens, not abusing citizens. But if there is a law enforcement officer who has enthusiastically pursued people in the war on drugs, then these will be the same people who will certainly be down to follow the state when they order a little bit of butt-kicking of adherent citizens disrupting what's going on. Because police have been told by somebody in government, by the governments themselves, they've been told police officers, as they're hired, these are bad human beings because they consume this plant. This particular plant, we consider them now outlaws. They are bad, bad people. So it is okay for you to kick down their door in the middle of the night, shoot their dog, and then go in, kidnap them, put them in a cage, and take all of their stuff. See, we're very outraged here in this country right now to learn about the Canadian government going out and doing this new financial grab, where they go out and they're taking crowdfunding money. They're trying to seize people's crypto wallets. They're going in and freezing bank accounts. Yet that's been going on here in the United States probably for a couple of decades. We have unleashed here in the war on drugs, if you're driving down the road and you've got a bunch of cash and the cops intimidate you, though you've done nothing wrong. Oh, maybe you were speeding. Maybe you had a taillight that was out and you get pulled over. And people across this country on a daily basis have been intimidated to allow the police to search their vehicle because you're thinking to yourself, well, I've got nothing to hide. Sure, go ahead, knock yourself out. The problem is you had $6,000 in your box, in your console because you were going to buy a used car. Well, when the police officers here in the United States of America, where we have this great, air quotes here in the studio, freedom, they find this envelope of cash, and they think, well, there's no reason. They will tell this. This is a direct quote in some cases where they say, there's no reason for you to have this much cash. We're going to take it. It's called civil asset forfeiture. And beautifully, conservatives have been questioning this in a pretty severe way over the last 2 years. And some places have done this. Yet the police organizations around the country have cheered to retain this power of civil asset forfeiture, meaning they don't have to arrest you. They don't have to even accuse you of a crime. They will let you go on your way, but they're going to take your stuff before you go. And then you are going to have to go to court and prove that you're not a criminal, flipping the entire justice system on its head. This has been going on in America for a great number of time, amount of time. Law enforcement has lobbied for this ability. Now, why would they do that? Because they get a good chunk of this money. This is highway robbery. So with the people who are enforcing civil asset forfeiture, where they just pull somebody over and they just take all their money, there have been stories of people with their life savings in their car. Well, that was just dumb. They shouldn't have. Can you hear yourselves when you do this? They shouldn't have been taking all that money with them anyway. You're seeing a situation in Canada right now where you can't trust the banks, can you? And some people, when they're moving, maybe for whatever reason, but they're free Americans. They have $80,000 cash in their car. They've had it all taken. They were going to buy a business. You're going to buy an RV. And the police have taken this money. It costs, of course, thousands to tens of thousands of dollars to hire an attorney to file to try to get this money back. So I'm sure there's some level, probably anything under $15,000, you just got to throw your hands up and go, well, I guess they get to keep it. I can't afford to try to get it back. I can't afford legal bills. They just took my life savings. I guess they just get it. And conservatives have consistently done this. We back the blue no matter what. If there is a shooting, if there is any event with anybody in the community and a police officer gets in trouble, conservatives have automatically backed the blue. You look for reasons to let this cop be the one that gets the benefit of the doubt. Sometimes they should, and sometimes they shouldn't. But if I go to a conservative site after any of these incidents, all I see is, well, that perpetrator shouldn't have been doing such and such. One of the most egregious things was Eric Gardner. Very large black man standing down, I believe it was downtown New York, was selling loose cigarettes. was not accused of stealing the cigarettes, but he took a pack of cigarettes and he was just selling Lucy's, as they call them. Single cigarettes, a couple of cigarettes for a couple of bucks. Seems like a entrepreneurial way to do things. This is what a lot of people do for their business, right? You buy large amounts of something and then you unpackage them and sell them in single units, but he didn't have the stamp of approval, so the cops saw him as a bad guy. He probably wasn't going to be paying the proper amount of taxes, so they tackled him. Ultimately, they murdered him. They killed him. Well, he shouldn't have resisted. And this is so strange. I mean, should you just say that about the Ottawa truckers? Should you say that about that old lady that was just on that video? Well, she shouldn't have said anything. The second she heard an order from the police, she should have realized that her right to go get a cup of coffee was over. They've taken that. She should have turned around. They never would have had to assault her, knock the camera out of her hand, her phone out of her hand. She should have just laid down and taken it. But people can't make these connections and see. Should Eric Gardner have just submitted to an arbitrary arrest because he bought a pack of cigarettes and sold in a free country? He opened up a pack of cigarettes and sold a couple of them for a couple of bucks to somebody who wanted to buy a couple of cigarettes. Cigarettes in New York City are something like $15 a pack. Should he have just submitted to this and taken the fine and paid the $250 because in America he dared to open a product that the state says is completely controlled by them? See, this is what I try to tell conservatives. You don't get to pick and choose your freedoms. And when the government goes out and tells cops that certain people are bad people, they go out and go after these people. There doesn't have to be a victim. There doesn't have to be anything but personal behavior. What police patrol, police enforce things against personal behavior. How many of us see personal destructive behaviors? I see them every day in the grocery store. I mean, if I should be level of a health ranger and just go and knock food out of people's hands when they're putting it in their grocery cart, because I love them and I want to save them. I want to protect them from themselves. And we have a situation the same here in the United States where we have allowed the state, and by state, you understand, I mean government, whether it's the state government, the local government, or the federal government, to tell you that we need to bring in law enforcement on just about everything. Everything's a criminal matter. You don't wear a seatbelt because you're not smart enough to understand that your chances in a wreck are much better if you're wearing a seatbelt. I wear a seatbelt every time I get into a car, have for pretty much the entire time I've been driving. Not because a politician told me to do it. It's just because I've got that ability. But I also believe I've got the freedom to not wear a seatbelt. But no. The politicians have told the police officers that somehow people without a seatbelt are some kind of a public health threat. Now, they are possibly threatening, risking their own lives. But it's their life. But we've allowed that to happen. We've had cops go in and shut down churches in the past 2 years. We've had police go in. We've had federal authorities go in at 6 o'clock in the morning and bust down the door of a farm selling raw milk to neighbors who wanted to buy raw milk. SWAT teams. I've done the stories before. I believe the SWAT raids went from something like 3,000 a year in the 1980s to 80,000 SWAT raids a year, some insane number like that. In recent years, I do not back that blue. We do not have a country that is so dangerous to one another that we need to have all. But this is done in the war on drugs and every other raw milk, tax issues. And conservatives have not seen this for so long, and you have built up a militarized police force that it does the bidding of a corrupt class, a corrupt political class. So I fully support the police and all of the heroic work they do. There's times where you really want a police officer around, and God knows it's good to have them there. This is not about defunding the police, but it is about restricting them to really only places where there is actually a victim, where people are harmed. You're seeing in Ottawa right now what's going on, and I think a lot of conservatives, why I believe it's a bit of a teachable moment. Now, what do we do about this now? I don't know. Quit voting for these law and order people. Quit buying into this stack 'em like cordwood, because what you found for the last 2 years is this idea of if you can't do the time, don't do the crime. This is like a mantra of the conservative movement. Well, suddenly the crime was opening a church. Did you support that all pastors should stand down and not open their churches because if they can't do the time, they shouldn't do the crime? No. You saw that as an egregious assault on freedom because it was a freedom that you wanted. But when we see people trying to exercise freedoms that we don't want, we've been happy to sick the Praetorian Guard, these government agents, the people who have a monopoly on violence. We're fine seeing them abuse other citizens because we're not them and we really don't want what they want. So they can go ahead and abuse them for these victimless crimes. But now they're coming for us? They won't let me open my business? They won't let me drive down the road with $8,000 in cash without taking it? Again, you cannot pick and choose your freedoms. And this is really where we find ourselves. And I was just watching this stuff unfold in Canada, just thinking, and we all think it couldn't happen here. Really? What is the difference between these police going down the street and rousting peaceful protesters and an armed SWAT team busting down the door for a house for a guy who's sitting on the couch smoking weed, growing a plant in his backyard for his own personal consumption? Now, it's okay if he drinks himself to death with a case of Jack Daniels. You can go to any liquor store right now and get enough of stuff to poison yourself to death within a night. That's absolutely fine because a fermented plant is fine, a smoked plant, no good. The political class has told us this. And they've convinced the police that you will arrest these plants if a plant is to be smoked or to be ingested somehow that we don't approve of. Now, if it's fermented, it's fine. But if it's taken this other way, it's not. And police have enthusiastically enforced these laws up to and including today. And many great police officers, guys I'd love to have a beer with and all that stuff. We can have endless debates on these. They've bought in hook, line, and sinker. Why? Because in particular, conservative Mississippi and conservative areas, we've emboldened them. We've told them. We will obey any dictates from the political class, and those who do not obey the dictates of the political class, you could put them in a cage, and we want to build more prisons, put more people in jail. We have set, as I've said over and over again, we've set a turnkey tyranny in this country, and everybody thinks it can't happen here. Oh, it can happen in England. It can happen in Australia. It can happen in Canada. What's the similarity of those three countries? Anyone? Anyone? Western, Christian, formerly free countries, but you believe it could never come here. It's already here. We already have a police state here. They're spying on your emails. They're spying on your phone calls. They're recording everything you do. They're tracking. They're tracing you. And they're policing your personal behavior. You think it's a big reach to get law enforcement to go that next mile, which is more control? They can already reach into your bank account today if they want to and take everything you own. And then it's up to you to go to try to prove that you didn't get that money through illegal means. They've got the tools to do that. They do it every day. They can put you on a no-fly list anytime they want to. And good luck getting off of that thing. We've allowed a police state here in the United States, and as sick as I am to see what's going on in Canada, I realize it's been going on incrementally here for the past 50 years, most particularly, and I'm sorry to keep saying this, but it's true. The war on drugs. This is what militarized the police. It was the justification for that. It's what's responsible for a large portion of our prison populations that you pay for. It's bizarro world to hear conservatives cheer for more federally funded or state funded institutions to warehouse human beings. And then we complain about the broken family and minority communities. We have created a police state here. If you don't think they can turn it on like they have in Ottawa, you are deluding yourself. Look, I make these points a lot. Conservatives have cheered for trillion-dollar national security budgets. Every time a Republican comes out and says they're going to increase military and intelligence service spending, conservatives have cheered. Now they grumble about inflation because they don't understand that money is just printed out of thin air to fund all of this ridiculousness. And it's just, I'm trying to get you to leap ahead a little bit to think about it. I mean, how many of the people, the freedom lovers up in Canada, thought to themselves, well, you know, our police, our military would never turn on us. If the government started doing draconian things, I know a lot of patriotic Canadians that believe in our charter rights here that would never join with these organizations and come and oppress the people, which is exactly what we think here in the United States. And I'll be tell you the truth. I believe that, too. I know a lot of really good cops, and I would just imagine there's no way they would allow the government to direct them to do things. But when I look around the landscape, the government is already directing police to do things that violate people's constitutional rights. Constantly. It's been going on for decades, and conservatives have been cheering for it. And what you see in Canada is just the future in the United States if we do not start reining in law enforcement to start focusing on crimes where there is a victim, not in micromanaging people's lives. Lonely,
I see the shadows on my face. People have told me I don't look the same. Maybe I lost weight.
All right, we are back. This is the Mike Madison Show, 103.9 WYAB. Phone number here, 601-879-0002. I would imagine my last half hour has been considered anti-cop or something like that. It's not. People understand now how dangerous governments can be. When you understand people who represent the government in their enforcement arm are serving that government. A caller during the break called in and said that a lot of the cops up in Canada have been arresting people when their supervisors are around and then taking them around the corner and releasing them where the supervisors aren't. That's great. It'd be much more powerful if those police officers said, I'm not going out cracking skulls for people that are demanding their own freedom in a free country like Canada. And they sick out. It'd be very difficult for the government to accomplish its goals if the majority of its enforcers will not show up to the party. That leaves them in a pretty precarious spot. You know, what happens, there's an egregious thing here in Mississippi and maybe in every state, I don't know. But if you own a business, the taxing authority, your local taxing authority, will send somebody in with a clipboard to start counting all your laptops and desks, chairs, pencils, stereo equipment, anything you got of any value. And they come in and they basically just write you a bill for owning this stuff. And they do this every year. So if you've got a laptop computer, you took your after-tax income, you went and bought a laptop computer, you paid taxes on it at the time you bought it, and then every year the local taxing authority walks through and counts it again and again and again to keep taxing it every year. Now, it's not huge. You know, most small businesses have a bill somewhere between $45 and $300. It's not huge in the grand scheme of things. Of course, it's just one of many taxes. What do you think happens if you tell that tax authority, you're not coming in here again this year. I'm sick of you counting my stuff and then just sending me this arbitrary bill for owning things to run my business. What do you think would happen? Who's going to show up to allow that tax person in? A police officer. I'm just saying. These are agents of the state, and they deserve, you know, I think about police officers have to go on domestic calls. These are, I think, known to be the most dangerous calls out there. You've got emotions. A lot of times you've got alcohol or substance abuse going on, and some woman is being terrorized by a husband, or vice versa. I don't want to be sexist here. Certainly some violent women out there. And police officers have to inject themselves in this situation, but they're trying to protect somebody. That is noble work and very dangerous work. Very dangerous work. And if they make a mistake on one of these calls, I have all the sympathies in the world. I can't imagine an emotionally charged situation like that. But they step into the gap between a victim and an aggressor. That is beautiful. And it's what I admire police for doing. But we're over-policed in this country. And I just can't think how many people in all of these Western-style democracies around the world sat there and thought, well, this would never happen here. Our police, our military would never participate in something like this and cracking down on people. We're seeing this lurch towards authoritarianism across the world, including the United States. And we're just sitting back thinking, nah, it'll never happen here. That'll never happen here. I guarantee you people in Canada said it would never happen there. Some people in Australia are probably almost catatonic trying to understand what's going on there. And the Australian police, surely not all of them. I bet you a bunch of police have quit in Australia, but not enough. They kept an entire country under thumb. Police officers in Australia and all of these countries going and knocking on doors. Hey, we noticed you were on social media talking positively about some of the protesters. Let us tell you what you are allowed to do and not allowed to do if you decide to protest. We just wanted to let you know you're on our radar and we're monitoring your social media accounts. Is backing the blue in that particular case? All I'm saying is that conservatives, you don't think very far ahead. I'll tell you that right now. Praise the police. Honor the police for all of the dangerous work they do and the great heroic work they do to protect one citizen against the aggression of another. But you shouldn't be cheering for the other stuff. The other stuff that was just created out of thin air by politicians who just pick and choose what citizens are allowed to do and not allowed to do. You don't have a permit to be out here cutting grass, kid. We've seen these stories all over the country. Little girl sets up a lemonade stand, but she doesn't have a permit, and one of the Karen neighbors complains, and suddenly the police are dispatched to dismantle this horrific lemonade stand. Now, I'm sure there's a lot of police officers that would just refuse to do that. Now, you even see stories sometimes of police officers that are sent out to these things. I love stories where I see, like, the other day I saw a police officer, I think it was in California somewhere, he was dispatched to a noise complaint, and there were some young kids, I think they were Hispanic, were out playing rock music in somebody's backyard, and the cop shows up, and he's like, I got a noise complaint, y'all got to turn it down, but he was a guitarist too, and he picks up the guitar and starts playing with him. There's plenty of those stories, plenty of wonderful police officers out there. What I'm saying is stop supporting the politicians to pass all these laws and then sending the police out to enforce them. And the police that are enthusiastic about enforcing these things are the ones that I'm concerned about. Got a caller in line. Caller, are you with me?
Hey, Mike, it's Tim.
Hey, how are you?
The personal property tax, that I owned a business for 25 years, and there was no more hated tax than that right there.
Yeah.
But I've already paid taxes on all this furniture, desk, whatnot, and I've got to keep paying taxes on it.
Right.
I don't get it.
It's insane. And as I say, if you don't pay it, I mean, even if it's small, if you don't pay it, ultimately that can lead you to be put into a cage in the United States of America. You know what I mean?
Exactly.
That's the progression. And this is enforced by law enforcement, unfortunately, and we should not cheer that.
Yeah. I wonder how people would feel if the government just walked into their house and said, oh, I'm going to start taxing your lazy boy and your couch and stuff like that, because that's exactly what they did.
Oh, yeah. Trust me. Believe me, with the state the United States is in, we ain't seen nothing yet when it comes to taxation. I mean, what we have done to the next generations of kids, they're the ones that are really going to have the problems. I mean, they may be just stripped of all of their wealth, and it'll just be a feudal state what they're going to have to be confiscated from. But, yes, we have sat by and allowed these things, and there's this Overton window of saying, well, we're going to cut local taxes by 5%, and conservatives cheer for that. And I say, what are you doing? This presupposes they have this right to your income in the first place.
That's right. Yeah. Anyway, just wanted to pass that on.
Hey, thanks, man. I appreciate the call.
Thanks.
All right, bye-bye. Yeah, I mean, these kinds of things go on all the time. And we have been kind of, what I believe, we've been a little hoodwinked into accepting these things because you don't dare question them. They're just normal. Got another caller on the line. Caller, are you with me?
Yeah, Mike.
Yeah.
Yeah, I was going to say something about the personal property taxes. Many, many years ago in New Orleans, maybe 45 years ago, I would help my grandmother with her income taxes. And one of the taxes that she had to worry about, her husband had died at 70 or so, and she lived to 95. There was at the time a personal property tax on everything you owned in your home in New Orleans. It was a small tax. It wasn't a big tax, but essentially the city of New Orleans had assessed everything, not only her property and her home, but all of the furnishings and everything else.
Oh,
that was a
little
small tax, but it was one that had to be paid.
Yeah.
Now, that's a terrible thing to me. On the case of businesses and personal property taxes, which you own is taxed every year, it's true. But, you know, we have the elected officials who've evidently, you know, passed these laws, and the people who voted for them, hey, vote for somebody who says, hell, eliminate the personal property tax. Here's the thinking of governments. The world's an insurance scheme. Once people caught on to this, they tell a business, look, pick any of your sponsors. Hey, you're doing well. You've got a lot of customers. You're our customer. We're going to charge you $1,000 a year, let's say, for everything you have in your business. If you're a restaurant, you've got ovens. Of course, you have computers, and you have television sets. If you're a sports bar, we're going to charge you this. Hey, all you have to do is just add a little bit to your bill, you see?
Yeah.
So we'll charge you, and then you get it back from the 10,000 customers you see every year. It's an outrageous thing. To me, it's unnecessary. But governments never have enough money. Never. There's never enough money. And all taxes are premised on a big lie. They'll tell you in the city, if you don't pass this additional tax, we're going to stop your fire service and your police service. Never mind all the crap they do, they could easily cut out.
Of course.
So people buy the big lie. People who run governments are big liars.
Well, it's
the higher they get in government, the worse they are as individuals. I'm convinced this guy Trudeau in Canada, he's a would-be Hitler. He's a tyrant. He's a no good. I won't say it on the air. So, but hey, people have elected him. When the government becomes totally lawless, finally, in the end, when the government's totally lawless at the top and they use the police power they have, which makes the police essentially corrupt, finally, in the end, the people have no choice but to resort to violence. I hope it never comes that. We always say, I hope it never comes that. If you want to hold on to your freedom, one day, pal, it's going to come to that. Hey, that's all I've got. Look, thanks for letting me talk.
Thanks.
Okay,
appreciate it. Thanks for the call.
Okay, bye.
Bye. Yeah, I have, I've compared the scam of this taxation to the mafia, where basically you've got governments at local level, state levels, federal levels, basically swinging by your business and going, hey, look, man, you're doing really well. I sure would hate to see anything happen to your business. You know, I'd really hate to see anything happen where you couldn't open your doors someday. So you might want to, pay your, it's essentially protection money. And again, we have created a police state in this country that facilitates those kinds of things. Got another caller. Caller, are you with me?
Hello?
Hey, are you on? You're on the air.
Oh, I am. Oh,
yeah.
My name is Stephanie Porman Bates, and my husband, Robert Weiser Bates, about a week and a few days ago, was arrested by the U.S. Marshals from the CDC for... He basically was leaving harassing voicemails to them for what they were doing to the American people from their vaccines and for-profit approach to American health. Well, they arrested him, and he's in Madison County Detention Center, and I can't bail him out. I mean, they are after him. In fact, you met us over at the Americans for Prosperity meeting, and he's written these documents, the revised Constitution.
Oh, yeah.
Declaration. Yes. This is the guy.
Holy cow.
Yeah.
Well, I tell you what, send me an email with some contact information. I would like to hear more about that. I mean, and that's the thing is that, they can push us as far as they want to push us. And when we snap, when we just won't take it anymore, they just swoop in. They've got all of this power to just do whatever they want. And we've had a government that signed things that say they can detain American citizens. All they can do is just call you a terrorist. That's all they get. They utter the words and suddenly the Constitution does not apply to Americans. And this has happened under Republican presidents, Democrat presidents, Republican Congress, Democrat Congress. They all are going along with this stuff.
Yes, they are. And I have sent you an email. I put together a little bit of what I can figure out. I myself don't even really know what is going on. All I know is that my husband does not deserve a 10-year prison sentence for trash-talking the CDC, a for-profit vaccination company, over voicemail.
Yeah.
I mean, we are being targeted, I'm telling you.
Oh,
I am being followed, tracked, targeted, watched. There is no freedom. I mean, we're being persecuted. It's terrifying. And I just want to make the people aware. I've contacted Mississippi Patriots for that medical freedom and also Senator McDaniel. I just want people aware that this is happening.
Yep. This has been going on for a long time, and we have built a police state in this country with all this idea that it would never be used against us. It's only for those radical jihadists. It's only for those bad drug users. It's only for, we've just been convinced, and we have watched as, police are now dressed head to toe black. They look like something out of Star Wars at this point fully, and we just assume. But they'll never use that against us normal, freedom-loving, patriotic Americans. And I tell you, with the same thing they thought in Germany, the same thing they thought in England, the same thing they thought in Australia, and the same thing that they thought in Canada, too. And now look where they are.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. All right. Well, great. Hey, I appreciate you emailing me. I'll check that out. I'll probably be back in touch with you.
Thank you so much.
All right. Thank you. Conservatives, you're just late to waking up. You're very late to waking up. Very, very late to waking up on this stuff. And too late, we don't really know. I will admit, we've not seen in this country
what we've seen in some of these other places. We've seen some pretty bad stuff in states. Some of it almost comical. I just one of my favorite things of early in the air quotes here in the studio pandemic was a cop that was chasing a guy down the beach. He was by himself jogging down the beach, and some obese police officer seeks to detain him and probably put him in a cage for the crime of walking down the beach. I don't think the guy was wearing a mask, but unfortunately this guy was a jogger, and this cop was in long pants with his belt on, and he's trying to chase this guy, and this guy just leaves him in the dust. A cop chasing a guy down the beach for jogging. Well, that was California, Mike. That's just California. Yeah, okay. You keep telling yourself that. It'll never happen here. And I think there's a lot of Canadians saying that right now. I'll be right back.
I saw a werewolf with a Chinese menu in his hand, walking through the streets of Soho in the rain.
Now, I've warned everybody, I have very different views than some conservative commentator on conservative talk radio. Pretty much warned of that since the day I came on air back in 2017, so shouldn't be surprised by that. Not always popular. But, you know, when I look at policing, I think of it a lot like military. You know, I believe conservatives have also really been hoodwinked by this idea of militarism becoming patriotism. That the force that we can exert on anybody around the world at any time, just by our will, that is somehow the greatness of America, and I reject that out of hand. Founding fathers warned us of using the power of America for those purposes. I love the idea of a police force that is out there to protect citizens from aggression, from theft, from physical assault, from murders, from rapes, from all these kinds of things. I love that we sleep good in communities with cops that are there to protect us from these kinds of things. The best they can. They can't be there, and that's why we understand gun ownership. And it's just like the military. I love to sleep well at night knowing I'm raising children in a country with a very proficient military that says, ain't nobody coming over to mess with our stuff. And my children can live in a free country, well, formerly free, relatively free country, because, you know, number one, we have the greatest military on earth, so no one's going to come over here and mess with us. And number two, we got these two huge oceans. Geographically, we hit the lottery. No doubt about that. But a military to protect our country is great. A military to project American power is a disaster that conservatives have cheered for decades and decades. And I believe, again, just like this other issue of starting to rediscover what real freedom is, I still argue with conservatives. I'm involved in a lot of things with a lot of conservatives and traditional Republicans on some of these freedom issues now. They still disagree with me. We debate. We're still friends. We laugh and joke when we get done with it. But I just say, you don't pick and choose your freedoms. I'm with you, Mike, on not being able to close down churches and the government overreach and all this stuff, but I just can't get with ending the war on drugs. We just can't do that. Why? Because a bunch of politicians got together and decided that you can do this, but you can't do this. Isn't that the same thing as the group of politicians who said you can go to Walmart, but you can't go to church? Do you understand? These are the same people making these decisions. But I'll debate these things. I'm happy to do it. Look, I was a Kool-Aid drinking neocon conservative Republican for many years, not as many as most people, maybe 8 or 9, I think, became politically aware, became a big Republican, got into the W. Bush administration, started smelling a rat and headed for the hills. Been a libertarian ever since because I realized, oh, okay, there is no political solution to what we're in except to just dismantle this government. And with it, a lot of the laws that the police are out there enforcing. You know, I want to transition to this. I'm happy to still talk about the police state we've created here in the United States if you want to. So 601-879-0002. But if not, I'm going to move on because my blood was boiling this weekend watching anything that had to do. I couldn't turn the sound on mainstream media this weekend. A couple of times I saw it. And generally, I'll click it on to hear what the nut jobs are talking about. This time, I couldn't even take it. But I did see this headline in the Wall Street Journal opinion page. How about this headline? Time to increase defense spending. The U.S. will face challenges from the new alliance between China and Russia. That's the headline that explains everything that's going on right now. It's about money. And you just got to love somebody in the Wall Street Journal. The Wall Street Journal publishing an opinion piece that says the U.S. will face challenges from the new alliance between China and Russia. And why are China and Russia aligned now? Because the United States pushed them into each other's loving arms. because of our belligerent foreign policy, our bullying around the world. You know, the enemy of my enemy is my friend. Well, now they are friends. They're besties over there. This next two largest militaries with the most nuclear weapons are now best friends because of the psychopaths in the Biden, Trump, Obama, Bush administrations. And yes, Trump included. Trump has Mike Pompeo out there right now, and all during the 4 years of the Trump administration out there talking about how Russia was aggressive and we needed to go after Putin. But what really struck me this weekend, does anybody see what's going on here? There's been something strange going on over the past couple of weeks. I'm always trying to kind of figure out what's going on. And I don't know if you have noticed, but they have started lifting restrictions, calling masks facial decorations. I think they finally got bumped up into that group of people that is just not getting that ridiculous experimental shot. And they are kind of abandoning these things. And they were doing it at a time where cases from the Omicron were still significantly high. It wasn't over. Now, they have been dropping over the past couple of weeks, but they've just been saying, we got to get back to normal. I mean, I played the Doug Ford, one of the most totalitarian Canadian leaders for the last 2 years, just going, people are over this. We just need to go on live with our lives. I mean, it is just this 180-degree turn. Lena Wen on CNN, who's been pushing face masks for 2 years, suddenly comes out and goes, oh, face masks aren't any good for an airborne virus. They're just basically facial decorations. And I just thought, what are they doing? You know, they don't apologize for anything. They're repealing. So it's like they let the COVID stuff go to bed. I guess, you know, they're behavioral scientists, they're focus groups. I don't know who they consult. It has nothing to do with science. To anybody who thinks they're following any level of science is ridiculous. They just decided, they started to kind of let their foot off. Mandates, even in blue states right now, expiring and letting loose of the restrictions. Not all of them, but a lot of them. Enough to where, to me, it was pretty shocking. And this was when the Omicron was still peaking. They were still reporting breathlessly about all of the hospitalizations and the overworked health workers. But it wasn't 2 weeks after the start of this abrupt U-turn of talking about living with COVID, which is what the Amish did from 2 weeks in. I played you the story about the Amish. The Amish were cautious for 2 weeks when they were kind of getting the headlines, getting the lay of the land, trying to figure out what COVID was. It took them 2 weeks to figure out, oh, this is a bad flu, and if you're really vulnerable, this thing could really hurt you. But outside of that, we're fine. 2 weeks later, they were in churches. They've been living their lives with no vaccines, no masks, no social separation, no business closures, no nothing. They learned to live with COVID after 2 weeks. The rest of us, 2 years. But they did this about face on COVID. And what popped up within 2 weeks? World War III. Just within days. And this is this governing by crisis. Constantly keeping everybody really alarmed at the newest threat. And the newest threat now is Russia. Russia's going to invade Ukraine. There's no evidence of that. There's been no talk of it. Oh, yeah, Putin's moved some troops. He's been conducting some war games like the United States and NATO does on basically a monthly basis right on Russia's borders. But Russia does war games in its own country. It also, I believe, moves some troops into Belarus, and they've been doing some war games. We do war games all over the planet. But they move us from one crisis straight into the next one. Is anybody noticing this? I've talked a lot about the fact that, you know, we ended the Cold War and immediately started a hot war in the Middle East because there was this new threat. Saddam Hussein was this threat to us. And when it wasn't Saddam Hussein, it was this radical jihadist. Now it's the Russians. It was COVID for the last 2 years. It is constant fear-mongering, and this is where they're taking us. And when I come back, I'm going to play some clips from some of this stuff. But I was watching, and I don't know how long it's been this bad. You know, as you get older, you see things differently. And I'm doing keto, so I got a lot of healthy fats going to my brain these days. People who have eaten a keto diet. Clay Edwards earlier was in here. He goes, man, my mind's just never been so crisp and clear. I said, yeah, you're getting some of the gunk out of yourself and got a bunch of healthy fats going to your brain. Your brain's firing up. So maybe that's it. But, you know, I was looking at some of these people, whether it's Jen Psaki or people from the State Department or for the love of God, Joe Biden. I guess Joe Biden in any period of history would have been just hard to listen to. I watched some of the Sunday shows where some of the biggest, air quotes here in the studio, experts come on to talk about whether it's Russia or COVID or anything else. And I just thought, do we realize who we put in positions of power in the United States? And I'm talking about it just about every level, from the school board to the White House. We put some of the worst people in our society in positions of power. And back to my earlier point, they then do the stuff that worst people in societies do, and then they send the police out to enforce what they've decided to do. And for too long, the Americans, even conservatives, have said, okay. But I was just watching this parade of people. I don't care if it's Kamala Harris, Jen Psaki, Anthony Blinken, our Secretary of State, Ned Price, the CIA stooge, who's the Secretary of State spokesman now, John Kirby. But this is in every administration. Mike Pompeo. These are some of the worst people in our society. And we elevate them to the highest levels of power. What in the hell is wrong with us? And I defy you. I know I get a lot of people on my side when I talk about all of the people in the Biden administration that are whooping up this Ukraine story, how incompetent and just massively corrupt they are. But I hate to tell you, these same people, the Mike Pompeos, were going to the podium for 4 years during Donald Trump. The Mark Espers, you remember Mark Esper? He was our Secretary of Defense. You know, that was after he left Raytheon. As a Raytheon executive, Trump puts him into the Defense Department. It doesn't matter the administration. This one is particularly bad. But especially when we're on the cusp of what could potentially be World War III, when you stop and think of the people that are leading us into these things, they are the worst among us. The worst. And I don't know what it is. I'd have to sit down in a quiet room for a couple of days to try to figure out, is it that the worst people are attracted to power and they're such con artists that they know, they focus group every word they say. They know how to pander to the base to get power. My guy's good. And the rest of them are horrible, but I've seen my guy at the Rotary Club and he's a good, fine American conservative Christian. These are some of the worst people among us. And the thing that gets to me so bad when I watch this stuff about Russia, real innocent people die. You know, I was looking at some of this footage of the Donbass region in Ukraine where they were setting off the sirens. I think I played it on Friday. I want you to think about something for just a second, because I know it's very hard for us to understand that because we have escaped the ravages of war. We watch them on TV every now and then. We don't like to think about them. Who cares about the cholera outbreak in Yemen, the poorest country in the Middle East that the U.S. is actively participating in the bombardment of? We don't really think about those things, but I was thinking about these people in the Donbass region. They were packing up their stuff, throwing stuff over their shoulder, boarding buses, walking, just to get back to Russia because they believe that Ukraine is advancing on this Donbass region to Russian separatists. What do you think it would feel like? What can you imagine if everybody in Madison and Brandon and Jackson suddenly just went, uh-oh, they're coming. And we had to throw stuff over our shoulders, board buses, the backs of cars, trailers, and we're all heading up to Memphis. No idea what we're going to find up there. No place to settle, no nothing. We just know we're in imminent danger here, and we have to bug out of Metro Jackson area. So people can't even wrap their heads around that. Most people get freaked out if they have two errands to run at the same time. Oh, my God, I've got to get him to soccer practice, but I really need to go by and make sure I get that gift wrapped. Our foreign policy establishment here, and it's the same around the world, but ours is particularly aggressive in this particular situation. The United States is causing this entire thing. And it has caused an entire city, an entire region of people to throw everything they own on their backs and leave their homes for an uncertain, unknown future in the snow, for the love of God. Have you seen the weather over there? This is not a Sunday drive. It is stunning stuff to see. And when you look at the people responsible for this, they are so unimpressive. They're corrupt. They're dishonest. They only care about themselves, their power, their privilege, their profit. and they are disrupting real people's lives. If you can just imagine, everybody in Madison suddenly has to pack up everything. No country clubs, no PTA meetings, no birthday parties, no weddings. Everything's gone. You probably will never see your home again. All you people in Reunion, you don't even get to take the cars, okay? You got to get on buses. Too risky to have a big, giant traffic jam heading up to Memphis or having to go up to Michigan. Probably a better way to think of it. So you got to board buses. Grab your kids. They're going to be crying. They're not going to see their friends anymore. No more soccer. No more school. No more nothing. You're just heading out into the great unknown. That's what's happening right now at the hands of the psychopaths who run Americans' foreign policy. All right, we are back. This is the Mike Madison Show, 103.9 WYAB. You can also reach me by email, mikemadison@wyab.com, should you want to take me to task for the material covered in today's show. I'll tell you, the Russia situation is evolving. I have been saying for a long time, Russia's not invading Ukraine. I still believe that, but I think there is a possibility that if the people of the Donbass, who are ethnic Russians, who were part of Russia for over 300 years and only part of Ukraine for 30 years, if they are attacked, Russia may come in and protect the Donbass. They will cross the Ukrainian borders. They will go in there. They'll restore order, protect the people in the Donbass. And then I would imagine they'll either leave or they'll just stay in that little area. I think there's almost no chance, zero chance. And I could be so wrong. I'm just going to tell you, I don't think there's any chance of Putin rolling into Kiev. And I refuse to say the mainstream media pronunciation of that word. But there has been reports of Russians killing five Ukrainians today. They said they were saboteurs that had come across the border. I don't put it past the Russian government to lie about things either. It certainly is a possibility, but this is a created by U.S. Operation here. We sent one of the emptiest suits that has ever slithered around Washington, D.C. over to Munich to lead the American response. That is our, throw up in my mouth a little bit to say, Vice President. This is Kamala Harris. I want you to hear hypocrisy in action.
So by forging relationships and bonds, forging organizations.
I don't know who her speechwriter is, but boy, they put a lot of words into saying nothing. But she does get to some points that I think are almost laughable.
And to institutions, laws, and treaties. We together established a set of rules, norms, that have governed ever since. And Europe has enjoyed unprecedented peace, security, and prosperity through a commitment to a set of defining principles. The United States is equally committed to these principles. Huh. That people have a right to choose their own form of government.
Now remember, this is, she's speaking of the U.S. government that overthrew, just went in and took out the former leader of Ukraine, the democratically elected leader of Ukraine in 2014. A lot of respect for democracy there, right?
That nations have a right to choose their own alliances.
This is the representative of the government that refuses to allow Russia to trade oil with anybody that has surrounded Iran and won't let them have tankers that go to Venezuela. We get in the middle of every relationship, North Korea and South Korea. We're trying to talk and come to a peace agreement. And Mike Pompeo told South Korea, you can't do that. They're trying to drive a wedge between North Korea is trying to drive a wedge between you and America.
That there are inalienable rights which governments must protect, that the rule of law should be cherished, that sovereignty and territorial integrity of all states must be respected.
This is the leader, one of the leaders of a government that has invaded seven nations over the past 20 years, toppled five or six governments, is currently involved in bombing campaigns in Yemen, who assassinated the general of Iran, I'm just checking. One other hypocrisy thing that I thought was kind of funny. This is Colonel Jack Jacobs. I believe he might have been on. I'm not sure if this was Fox or not, but this is Colonel Jack Jacobs accusing the Russian government and Vladimir Putin of something that is a real laugh riot.
Not to be snarky, but just as an aside, make believe that you're Putin and his henchmen living in a country, an autocratic country with no controls and no oversight.
And okay, remember that. Yeah, Putin and the government just has no oversight.
And you decide to do the following. You go long energy, you're short the Dow, and then you put 150,000 troops on the border with Ukraine. And then every once in a while you say, well, we pulled them back just after you squared up, and you keep doing it. You know, lather, rinse, repeat. You keep doing this and you make yourself $1 trillion. It's good insurance against any problems that the United States might impose with sanctions.
Yeah. Now, this is a colonel who represents the United States blasting Putin. And I don't doubt that there's some of that stuff going on in Russia. Probably so. Don't we have a Congress that has been caught with massive amounts of insider trading? They know legislation they're going to pass. They know foreign intelligence before everybody else does. And they trade on this knowledge before it happens. And members of Congress go in there as thousandaires and leave as millionaires. Didn't we just have a Federal Reserve Board that has lost two members because it came out that they were trading sometimes hundreds of times prior to announcements by the Fed that they're either going to cut or raise interest rates or announce some big bailouts? Now, these are the funny thing. Just understand, this is how Mike Madison listens to the news. Everything we accuse others of is exactly what people within our own government are doing. All right, I'm going to wrap this show up. The left is lost. They've been hoodwinked. Now, I know a lot of Democrats, a lot of liberals that have not lost their minds. They see the left at large of it being just as crazy as I do. They don't understand it. Many of them are similarly in such hatred of Donald Trump that they can't change parties or anything because the Republican Party is still the party of Trump. So they're kind of stuck there, but they're not crazy. But the left is lost. The hope for this country going forward is with the right. And so the right has a lot of heavy lifting to do, and part of that is changing your minds. Now, you may have been able to reach some of your friends and family about things like masks and lockdowns and vaccines. Even though it wasn't popular, maybe you spoke up, maybe you just talked some common sense to them calmly and rationally. The right is the one that really needs to stand up against the police state we have that you've cheered for 50 years, and to the over-militarization, to the empire. Just because your guy participates in the empire, you love it for 8 years or 4 years, and then you hate it for 8 years, and then you love it again, and then you hate it. It's all at the whim. You need to start being more consistent. I can't remember who said the quote. I was trying to look it up during the break, but I was so far off on the actual quote itself. But it's something like, you cannot maintain freedom in a country if you've got a huge military running the show. And that's what we've got. So my view of the military and the police is, God love them. I'm so glad we have them there. They can do heroic work, the military, in protecting the United States. But it has nothing to do with American freedom or exceptionalism to ship them halfway around the world and start problems with other countries. And God love the police for protecting all of us from the aggression of others, or investigating after a crime has taken place, or locking up people who prey on other people. God love the police for doing that. But they also do a ton of things that just a bunch of corrupt class of politicians have deemed. It's like the social credit score already exists here. You've got a state legislature right now that started to debate, and the House passed a bill to make kratom illegal. you immediately would have made a bunch of Mississippians who were going to use kratom because it helped them get off opioids and it helps them reduce their pain. They were just this red legislature was just going to automatically make all those people criminals. Because here's the dirty little trick. They're not going to suffer because a bunch of politicians said kratom's no good. They're just going to keep buying kratom. But now they're at the risk of some cop busting down their door and taking them, kidnapping them, and putting them into a cage because they are ingesting a plant that was legal back in 2022, but in 2023 they get around to making it Schedule 1, so now the politicians have spoken, and all you kratom users, you have to put your pain pills away. So it's the right. You're finally getting this glimpse of what it's like to fight for your freedom. Take it all the way. Stop supporting these policies of endless policing, of endless military interactions around the world. Quit confusing pure raw power of police or the military as some kind of a conservative cause. It's not. Praise the military and praise the cops for the good work they do and challenge the rest of it. And maybe you can convince your other conservative friends to do that as well. Some heavy lifting, I know. What we do it here on this show.
No
gotta go.
Bye-bye. How hard you try, you can't stop us now. No matter how hard you try, you can't stop us now.